You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, it is an action-packed episode. We're talking about Patrick Mahomes trying to become the king of Kansas City, new owner of Sporting Kansas City, LAFC's blockbuster trade. We train with NYCFC players. We are on the call for matches with Kaká. A lot going on today.
Yeah, and also we talked to Allie Long. It just keeps getting better. She's absolutely incredible. Obviously, you know her from the women's national team. You know her from Gotham FC. You know her. We talk about everything from her time playing in other clubs, playing overseas, playing for the women's national team, the World Cup, but also playing in warehouses in Queens, futsal versus a bunch of Latinos. And where'd you get the name La Blanquita? That and more today on the Cooligans!
Yo, it's me, Dave Vianich here, and I've been hanging out with the Cooligans, having a nice, and I hope you've been having a nice too.
Yeah, baby! Oh, my voice. Yeah.
I need a little tea before I, intense.
Well, for those of you on Gully Squad and heard our Gully Squad exclusive episode, you knew my voice was already gone. So,
yes, we had a long weekend in Orlando for the Florida Cup. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Excited about today's show. We are the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerreros.
We are your favorite stand-up comedians. I host the funniest soccer show that has ever lived right here on Fubo Sports Network.
It also happens to be the gulliest. It also happens to be the one with the most farmer's tan from Orlando. You already know what it is.
And today's show just got a lot longer.
Yeah.
Allie Long is joining us today.
Bam.
You've seen her winning World Cups for the U.S. Women's National Team. You see her week in, week out playing for Gotham FC in the NWSL. A lot to discuss with her. But let's start today's show with some MLS news. LAFC.
They're making moves, baby.
Colorado Rapids. Blockbuster trade. Okay. Yep. Marc-Anthony Kay, the midfielder for LAFC, is now going to the Colorado Rapids. First, just that move by itself, regardless of the details. I know this for sure. We've been to Banc of California Stadium. We have seen an LAFC match. We've seen the love that Marc-Anthony Kay has received from the 3252, from LAFC fans overall.
He seemed like he was home.
He seemed like, you know, all right, I'm about to retire here. It's going to be nice. That isn't the way LAFC really function, okay? I think they, you know, his contract was about to end at the end of the year. I think rather than negotiate a new deal, who knows what his aspirations are about playing maybe in Europe, who knows? But I think LAFC, when they see an opportunity to get a bunch of money back for a player, they just take it regardless of how beloved the player is.
Dude, they're cold-hearted. You know what I mean? Like, they don't care. They'll put a gun in the back of your head and say, hey, you were a good earner, but your time here is done. You know what I mean? They're absolute cold-hearted. And if fans want to blame everyone. Fans want to blame the GM, you know, one of the 39,000 owners, Bob Bradley. Here's who you blame, the cap. Like, what are you going to do?
Okay.
If they renew his contract? They got to pay him even more. And it's like, I can't do that. You know what I mean? That's the damn shame. And also, he's a Canadian international. So he goes to Colorado back to his natural habitat. You feel me? Yo, you're going to love this.
Man, okay?
You know? There's snow. You know, it's like when you're telling your grandparent that they're going to love the senior citizen home. You can play games. Your friends are there.
It'll be nice. Sure. You know, maybe we'll visit once every 3 years, but it'll be fine.
It'll be fine. You'll love the snow, kid. You'll get out there. You'll run around. We'll ship you maple syrup.
So, look, the details in particular, there. Colorado sent $1 million in general allocation money. And also shouts to Tom Boger, who broke the news about this story, friend of the show. $1 million in GAM, a 2022 international roster slot, and a first round pick in the 2022 MLS Super Draft. So they gave up
nothing real. All of this is play money, but whatever. This is great.
Yeah, but no, I think this is also makes Colorado a bit more of a contender. This is a
What do you mean a bit more of a contender? They traded one of their best players to a team above them in the standings.
Yeah.
If you are an LAFC fan and you are going crazy, you have every right to. You don't trade to the team above you one of your best players and also makes them a better team?
Yeah, I don't know. Damn. I don't know if this is this doesn't feel like a 2021 trying to win in 2021 move. That's my opinion, but we'll see. Maybe it's for the future. The other thing we got to bring up is Patrick Mahomes, quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. He is now part owner of Sporting Kansas City. So now Mahomes...
He owns everything in Kansas City.
Yeah,
this dude's going to buy barbecue next. He's going to get an NFT of barbecue next.
Yeah, they got to put the sign no other quarterback, right? Yeah. Because he is becoming a staple, he's creating a monopoly.
How many statues does this guy want? Yeah, exactly. I mean, what more do you want, my guy? You've won a Super Bowl there. You're a legend. You've got $300 million, and now you're just buying all of Kansas.
Yeah.
You're going to name it to my home city.
I didn't realize this, but he's also part owner of the Kansas City Royals as well.
And his fiance is part owner of the Kansas City NWSL team.
When the
announcement came out, SportsCenter actually tweeted out that she was. Somebody responded with, "Where'd she get that money? How'd she buy that team?" She quote tweeted and said, "From my bank account." So not only does Patrick Mahomes own part of every team, apparently he's got a shooter right by his side. All right, how about that, huh?
So fun. I mean, we got to be on the call for, you know, plays from the legendary Falcao, Kaká.
Ailton, Giles Barnes.
Giles Barnes, the Brazilian legend.
You guys remember him? You know? Where'd he get that accent from? No, but that was incredible. This is something that we haven't done in over 2 years at this point, is getting the opportunity to be out there and sort of just riff. And people come up to us afterwards and like, "Whoa, that you guys are funny. Where are you? Who are you?" I'm like, "How do you not know?"
There was a moment. We haven't mentioned this before, but there was a moment after the game. A lot of people were complimentary. There was one kid that was like, "Hey, you guys are funny. Tough crowd out there. You know, like, you know, just like hit us 60% with a backhanded compliment. You know?
That's not our fault."
Yeah, everybody, you know, like half the crowd, they didn't understand English, but the one moment was after when we were leaving, and I was wearing an Everton shirt, and a kid came up to me and was like, "Hey, can I get your shirt?" And I'm like, "What?" It didn't even make sense.
I can't believe Christian's getting robbed right now. Like, that's how it felt. It didn't feel
I don't have another shirt. What? I'm not an athlete. What are you talking about?
They treated us like athletes. First of all, no one asked me for my shirt. They're like, "Whatever you do, keep it on.
They're like, "Put on another one, sir."
Yeah. I mean, what am I going to do with that shirt? Cover my bed in it? I can't do anything with that. But the kid was like, "Can I have your shirt?" And we both thought he said, "Can you autograph my shirt?" Because he had a shirt in his hand that other players had autographed. And you go, "You want me to sign your shirt?" He goes, "No. Give me your shirt." And I was like, do I gotta duff this kid in the face right now? I gotta take out a 12-year-old? He's about to rob Christian.
It was incredible. I mean, the event was great. We got to pass the ball to Kaká.
Which was pretty crazy.
Unreal.
It wasn't like a make-a-wish thing. Like, the ball came to us and we got to kick it. By the way, when it came to me, I wasn't supposed to pass it to Kaká. Kaká was just walking. I'm like, "No, I'm passing it to Kaká. Sorry, Giles. Your day's done, my guy.
And then Everton had an event on the 26th on Monday with Tim Howard. They also had this author, Dr. David France, who wrote this book. It's called Toffee Soccer, about Everton's kind of experiences and influence in North America. And it's absolutely incredible. Hopefully he can get to do the show soon. But it was like a history lesson in Everton. Like, I was taking notes. It was like class was in session. I was listening.
The stereotype of you has only gotten perpetuated by you saying, "This was amazing. It was like a history lesson. I got to take notes." Guys, this is the guy who played the harmonica in college. This is who we're listening to right now.
Not high school, Alexis. All right. I did more, ukulele in college.
It really went wild, please. Dude.
Things got a little bit crazy. Okay. And so, you know what? Also, next up, we got more footage because we got to train with NYCFC. So we're going to take a look at that when we get right back.
Would you look at that? Look at the form. Look at the grace, huh?
I mean, I'm glad we have not only the video, but these incredible photos, the memorabilia from this moment, from this
training
session.
Well, I'm glad it's just of you because we don't need any more memory of what I did.
Oh, you know what? I think we happen to have.
First of all, you guys are supposed to be on my side. Winger with the chicken wings? Fam.
I think this is very much on your side. I mean,
first
this
of all,
is.
I want to point something out. Look at this photo. If you look closely, everything I own is in my pockets. I trust nobody. I've got wallet, cell phone, keys. I've got everything in my pockets.
Bro,
I didn't put
anything. I
don't
know why. I mean, it's like you have never even known. You don't even know how to even begin to exercise. You're just like, no. Oh yeah, I have to carry just literally all my stuff. Who knows if I, might need my credit cards while I'm jogging.
What if Mick Schott goodies like, hey yo, let me see your ID. I got it. You know. I also wanted to make sure I had my health insurance card on me at all times. I'm not letting that go anywhere because I really. Felt like at the end of that kick, I was gonna go straight into an ambulance.
No, man, a great experience. I'm glad we got to do that. Shouts to NYCFC for letting us on the training ground. Simply put,
Tanner, I'll never forgive you for making me do that.
I'm hoping we get to do more of that stuff soon. So, just incredibly cool. And make sure check out NYCFC's YouTube channel because the full segments of those training sessions are available there. So youtube.com/NYCFC. Okay, we have Ali Long of Gotham FC,
wow.
World Cup winner with the U.S. Women's National Team, coming up next. See you in a bit.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I just want to figure with a word from one of our sponsors, Justin. You being Gully Squad. Oh my God, Gully Squad is the absolute incredible. By the way, if you're not a member of Gully Squad, what are you waiting for? Just go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad and join. First of all, you get absolutely amazing access to us, Christian and I. We're always in there. This is the place we focus on. We text back the most. If you want to share a picture of your pizza and say, yo, Alexis, roast them. Nah, fam, join Gully Squad. That's where that happens, in the Rate My Pizza room in our Slack. It's absolutely incredible. We've got stuff from comedy, coffee, beer, wine, liquor, food stuff, general stuff. They're coming up with the Gulliest Kit. Inferior Sports, which is where we talk about everything else. We got an MLS Pick'em going on in there. Music, pets. It's such incredible stuff. And by the way, anytime we have a guest, what happens is we post that in Gully Squad. They find out about it first, and it's cool that they don't leak that information. They're awesome people. And we ask them if they have any questions for whether it's famous coaches or players or a journalist, whoever it is that we have as a guest on our show. And those are the only questions that we ask. So if you would love to ask some of these famous people some questions, anyone from Zach Steffen to Landon Donovan to Michelle Akers, legend in the women's game, anyone like that, if you've always wanted to ask them a question, the only way you're going to get a chance to do that is if you are in Gully Squad. So again, go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad, or you could just go to shoutstous.com. Join now. All right, Christian, our guest is finally here, and I'm excited. This is a big moment, right? We've met this person before.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I didn't know before is that, she'd be hanging out and playing futsal with a lot of Latinos, okay?
Yeah, we got
our people, and apparently her nickname is La Blanquita or La Rubia. So I think that's the perfect way to bring this person in our show. You may know her from her time in NWSL, playing in Europe. Oh, I don't know, the women's national team at the last World Cup, okay?
Yep.
But officially on this show, you know her from being yelled at by Latinos and being called La Blanquita. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, put your hands together for Ali Long, everybody.
Ali,
sí,
what's
señor.
Up? Bueno, me alegro. Gracias. Ali Long, thank you so much for joining us from the New Jersey rooftop that you are currently in. This is super cool. You know, it's always an honor to, you know, have World Cup winners regularly come through this show. You are one of many, but we're absolutely stoked to have you on the show. The first place to begin right now, at least let's, I guess this is maybe a sensitive question because I know we've spoken to other players, and the Olympics are currently going on, and some players, obviously, as a competitor, you want to be there. What is that feeling? I know, obviously, it sucks to not be there, but watching the games and watching kind of the games are not easy. See what the U.S. women's national team are going through right now. What's it like being on that end and watching these Olympics?
Such a great question. Wow. way to get it in there right from the beginning. Just kidding.
No,
I love it. I think that obviously, like, more than anything, like, I want to be there with my teammates, with the team. I think, like from the 2020 Challenge Cup from the NWSL, I kind of had this injury, and I was just, like, injuries, like, and I was hoping that, like, I would just get a chance, and, you know, I keep, like, just hoping for that and just working hard towards that, and it just didn't happen. So I think, like, I've accepted that, and it's kind of been, 2016 Olympics, losing in the quarters versus Sweden, like, in PKs, like, all I wanted to do is kind of just, like, get revenge back, and losing was really tough. So initially it was really hard, and I was, of course, upset, but I didn't even get, like, called in to kind of, like, get the chance to make the team. So I've had this, like, kind of an acceptance of, like, okay, well, you know, now it's my time to kind of support my teammates, support some of my best friends, and to just, like, root for USA and you know, be on that side of it. It's definitely not easy, but it's something that, like, I've accepted, and I want the best for the team, and I'm hoping that I'll get called in after this Olympics.
When we watch, like, all the women's national team players, especially during that World Cup run, it just became, like, it was so emphatic, you know, like, you just, like, you want to be a part of the party. But be honest, though, at some point where you're like, do you always have to be smiling, everybody? Like, why is everyone having so much fun 24/7? Did it ever get tiring?
Of course, we want to kill each other in practice half the time. But no, you know what? It's so weird thinking about that time. Or not weird. It's just like, it was such a special group, such like a special moment, like this intangible feeling that, like, we, once a roster was picked, it was like we loved each other, like, and it was such a unified feeling, and we had, like, that was never like, oh, smile, you're on camera, like, no, that was, like, extremely genuine. I think everyone felt that, which is why it was, like, so infatuating, just, like, in the sense of you guys seeing that and, like, wanting to be a part of it. And I think we were more open than every other time. I think social media, like, from 2015 to 2019, like, everything's being recorded at this point. We're posting it on Instagram, so you guys kind of got a real behind the scenes feel of, like, what we're doing and you know, what we're feeling in that moment. But that was just such a special group in that moment. It's kind of something that, like, you don't even know how to replicate it, because it was just, like, the energy between us was, like, we were on fire. And I'm just happy that, like, the rest of the world kind of got to see that side of us.
Yeah, okay. For sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But we do want to kill each other in practice. And, like, leading up to the roster, like, no, like, it's, you know, it's down to business, training. Okay. You know, you're competitive. You're competing to make probably one of the hardest rosters to ever, you know. The depth on the team is ridiculous. And so I think once that roster was picked, it was like, all right, we could be friends now.
I think that's why you're so friendly with each other, is because you don't have to. Like, if Christian and I argue and, like, I want to punch him in the face, we don't have practice where I could just two-foot him and be like, oh, my bad, and get away with it. You know what I mean?
True.
Yeah, it's not just part of the game, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my bad. And then I don't feel bad about that thing before. It just festers. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm glad that we did get to see that, because you guys, I would say you guys hide it well, because there is no more of a, you know, a unified team on a global level and as recognizable as the U.S. Women's National Team, even from a you know, footballing perspective, and then just a, like, political perspective, from a women's equality perspective.
Yeah.
The you know, we've spoken to, we had Megan Rapinoe on recently, kind of just talking about, you know, she tends to be the face of that fight. Mm-hmm. But for the rest of the players and for you, that balance of being that professional player and then, you know, having this lawsuit with your federation. How did you manage that?
I think that like the best thing about our entire team is that we've always been and we always will be this unified front. So not one person really has to take that all on their shoulders. And if you want to be more vocal and you know, voice your opinion, like, go for it. And Pino has never not voiced her opinion in everything. And I think she's an unbelievable person and teammate in that regard, because she could risk everything and stand up for what she believes in. And that's something that makes her like her and why I love her so much. So, but I do think that like being unified, you feel even, it brings you actually closer in a sense. And, you know, everyone's in it together and we're fighting for something that matters to every single one of us so much. And to know that, you know, your teammates on the field and off the field and kind of trying to change the way the next generation will be treated in the game is a really like empowering feeling, when especially when you're doing it like together.
Yeah, and we saw that in LFG in the documentary, that unity. I mean, I don't think that was just such a clear explanation of what that fight was and is. And yeah, I think it motivated a lot of people to continue, you know, to support and stuff like that. I also wanted to talk about Gotham FC. You made a recent move from the Reign to Gotham FC, to get being closer to home as well. You
I'm
are
back
from,
home, baby.
Yeah, your second stint with the club, although it was called Sky Blue back in the day.
What'd you say? I'm sorry.
I said your second stint with the club, although it was called Sky Blue back in the day.
Right. So what has that been like coming, you know, obviously coming back home, but also Gotham were in a good place. And then to bring, when you got signed, I'm like, okay, well, all right, are they going to bring more powerhouses on
the
team that's already really good?
<You know? laughs>
What has that experience been like on this new team?
Honestly, it's been so incredible. I think I've been on the West Coast for 9 years or... Yeah, 8-9 years. And so to be able to come back home and like kind of no other place in the world when you like land at JFK or LGA or wherever, like coming home, this is the only place that really feels home. And so it's been so great. And then on top of it, just like the style of play that my team plays, the coaching staff, everyone has been so like incredible. And it's been so seamless to kind of just fit right in. I think that that's probably when one of my favorite parts of being a part of this team is just the way we play and how we play and how we kind of you know, it's hard to be a possession style team in this league that's so athletic and such a transitional league, and to be able to kind of like have that style and you know, each game like stick to it regardless if, you know, it looks great or not. I love that, and I love just being a part of it. And I think that this team has like that special sauce to kind of just like become champions. And I'm just so grateful.
The fits alone. I mean, look at the
bro,
fits.
I mean, the walking fire into the match fits is one of my favorite things I've ever seen any soccer team do on social media. It's amazing.
It's competitive in training, but it's incredible just walking into that stadium. It's incredibly competitive.
Right now, there's a player whose agent is like, "Hey, Gotham FC is interested in you," and she's like, "I mean, I got to get my closet. You know, what I mean? My drip game ain't ready for this team."
So funny. No, I actually. So that's funny. Yeah, like when I was on the Reign, I you know, just on social media, like following them, and they were a team that I've really admired the culture and the way they've kind of expressed themselves, and you know, the way they portray the team and the girls and individual, you know, vibes and just like their style. I like love that. And so to then become a part of it and be in it and witness it firsthand is been awesome. And yeah, our shout out to Andrea, our social media queen, who kills it every
homie.
Single day. And
yeah, she's a homie.
And
Andrea, it's incredible. Also, NWSL is doing a bunch of really cool stuff on Twitch, and so are you. You've been really getting into this whole gaming world. When does the competitive fire die, Allie? When do you relax? Is it just sleeping?
Never. Don't put me in Warzone after when I'm trying to recover. It's not good for my health or recovery. No, I love – that's what I love about it. Like, I love Call of Duty. I love, like, dropping in with your squad, and it's you and your squad versus everybody else. It, like, reminds me of, like, you know, a World Cup, but when you die, you get to, you know.
right. Yeah.
But, no,
they don't let you
respawn
in the group stages?
No. Yeah, but I basically, when COVID happened and Twitch that year just announced their partnership with the NWSL, you know, there's a couple of requests of me to do stuff for some charity. I mean, I think my first streaming thing was I played Uno and like raised $20,000 for a COVID stream that Twitch was doing. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. I could, you know, engage my fans and kind of like bridge the gap between gaming and soccer. And so, you know, it started doing like more charity stuff and more. And then I started playing with like these rappers and NFL guys and NBA guys, and like, so it's been so fun to kind of get to know other people. And like, you know, you come from different worlds, but like when you're gaming, it's like, you know, you're together and you would have never met them or, you know, played with them if if it weren't for Twitch or gaming.
Yeah,
so
you probably cool. Said like, yeah, Twitch, I wanna game, but I don't wanna play cards. I wanna blow stuff up.
Let me do something. Uno's cool, intense. But I want a gun.
Can I drive a helicopter? No. Yeah. Okay,
do you see this as like, you know, sometimes when a player starts to think about what might happen in like, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years when their career's over, they start thinking like coaching or media. Are you thinking of getting into professional gaming?
No, there's no chance I can actually be a professional gamer. I'm happy with like 2, 3. If I get 3 kills, I am hype. I win my gulag, I'm hype. But no, I love it as like something that I could, I don't know, like it's something that I can do away from soccer in the sense. Like I literally started doing it because I would be in like the Normatec Big Legs recovering, and I'm like, oh, I can't watch my game right now, I kind of need to shut off, let me start. And I would play, and it was kind of a way to kind of separate soccer and like whatever. And then all of a sudden my heart rate's going, I'm not recovering whatsoever. So but it's something
you have
that
to
I
wear
really
one of the monitors, the field monitors. Yeah. while you're gaming.
Yeah, no, like my heart rate, I'm like, oh my god,
they're like, what are you, jogging? Yeah. I'm playing games right now.
Yeah, that's literally how it is. So but yeah, so it's been a really cool like learning experience too. I think I've met really cool people, learned the industry. I cannot believe how much, you know, I think me, Becky Sauerbrunn, Crystal Dunn, Julie Ertz, we did a Call of Duty appearance, and like their first question was, a 16-year-old just won like what was it, Call of Duty, like world, not a World Cup, what was it,
like a championship,
Fortnite, best player in Fortnite in the world, and he won like $16 million, but you guys just won the World Cup and you split $4 million. And I'm like, they're like, what do you think? I was like, I think I need to get into gaming actually. So, yeah. But yeah, so it's kind of, and also like the fact, like I also feel the fact that like women aren't, you know, as prevalent as men are in the gaming world. And like, if I fight for equality in this realm, I want to fight it in everything I do. So I also feel like I'm kind of representing the females in that side of things as well.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
It's like you're a woman plays video games, professional soccer player. Your husband is like, I got the best gifts in the world.
Yeah,
I'm basically a boy. Just kidding, girl.
It's the best.
Thanks, guys.
So, Ali, we have questions from fans, which is our supporters group. They're called the Gully Squad.
We
have a bunch of questions for you. The first one I want to get to. This is from Lura McCoy. She's happy to be an Orlando Pride fan, but she mentioned, and Alexis mentioned it up at the top of the show, Lura asked, does she still play pickup futsal? And before you answer the question, I do want, Alexis did mention, you're obviously playing closer to home, and I was reading your Wikipedia says specifically that was your nickname was La Rubia y La Blanquita, which was, I mean,
that's
in your Wikipedia.
This is in your Wikipedia. It's under futsal.
While we're talking about Wikipedia, can someone please change my picture? It's from 2000, I think. But anyways, okay, wow, I didn't know that was my nickname on my Wikipedia, but that's such an honor. Yeah, like La Blanquita, Gringa, Rubio, like that would, yeah, I basically am the only person in the entire gym, probably like the only girl, but the whitest person in there with blonde hair, blue eyes, and I'm like on the field with all these guys, and you know, it's just such a cool culture to be a part of. That's something I didn't have growing up, and so being able to play in these gyms is like, not only is it like some of the best soccer that like I get to witness and be a part of. But I've learned so much, and I think my development throughout the years, I would say that is the single handling like the most like the best way I've been able to develop is just being put in those situations. And those guys, they don't care. Every tournament or every these leagues that I was playing in, they are all for money. So the guys could care less if I'm a girl. Like, they're like, yes, a girl's playing. Like, we're going to win. And then I feel like I have to play like it's a World Cup final every single day just to, like, earn the respect in the gym and to kind of be able to be like, all right, I can, like, play with these guys. And so this is a side story. But one of the gyms, which I'm still pissed about, I won't play there until they change the rule, that if a girl scores, it counts as 3 goals, which is so disrespectful. What? Like, I don't need that rule. Yeah, so there's this one gym that in Flushing, Queens that I play in, and yeah, he changed the rule that on Thursday nights, if a girl scores, it's worth 3 points. I was like, well, one, pass me the ball every single time.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous. And I'm not coming back until you change it. So, Wilson, change it.
Okay. I just love this idea of you at like a like an all Latino gym, just like with an empanada in your hand, a mate in your other, going, oye, think without con este que peligroso, okay? Like, yo, what happened to Blanquita?
Pase la bola.
Yeah. It must be obviously a big part of it's like the futsal background, because I mean you hear about like Brazilian players that are great with possession, and you had retweeted a tweet that I'm looking at right here from Nicole Baxter of a quote where she said, referring to you, she said she is the most accurate passer in the entire NWSL, any position, with an astonishing completion rate of 95.1%. And I mean, that's the first thing, you know, when we've seen you play a bunch of times in person, and it is, yeah, it is. Nobody is taking the ball away from Ali Long. The game almost is dictated by her.
Thank you. That's literally such a compliment. Literally playing for sure, like futsal. I think that I actually like initially wanted to do it because I was like, how do I train my brain to like play faster than anyone and be able to kind of solve things? Because you can't replicate that in the off season. So that was like one of my initial things that I was like, I want to play like in a high speed environment. And then Bati was like, okay, we'll start bringing you to games. Like, okay, we don't, you know, and then all of a sudden the team's fighting because someone tackles me. So, but which is hilarious.
She's worth 3 goals. Don't do that.
Yeah. Hey, yo, don't
There's
mess up the World
fight
Cup winner.
Per week. But no, I literally think that futsal has been the most, it's been unreal. It's been I've been so grateful to be a part of it and be able to develop that way, because the way that, you know, pressure comes at you faster, they're stronger. I mean, the first probably like couple weeks I've ever played, first of all, every gym has a different size ball, different feel of a ball. You know, some are really small and heavy, some are a little bit bigger, some are lighter. So just to be able to like adjust to that, and you know, with the fact that it's a World Cup final every time I play, because I need to get the respect in the gym. Not only am I not Spanish, but I'm white and the only female playing, so I need to like earn my respect every single day. And I've like at like Friday nights the gym will be packed, they're playing salsa music, I got an empanada, game time supposed to be at 9, but of course it's 11 p.m.
Not until the reggaeton play mix is over can we actually get out there and play.
incredible. It's been so amazing, and I've enjoyed it so much. And to answer the Orlando Pride fans' question, I obviously, like, in season I don't play, but anytime I can, like in my off season, I'm always trying to, you know, join pickup, and they take it, whether it's pickup or I'm joining, like playing in the leagues, like whatever I can get my hands on, I'm in there.
That's incredible. And you actually just moved to Jersey, and this is an important question for everyone in New Jersey: is it Taylor Ham or is it pork roll?
Why are you asking me this?
This is wildly important, Allie. You're on the spot here. Never mind you, I am from North Jersey. I grew up.
What's
just...
your what it, you
to me? So if you're from South Jersey, you say it's pork roll. If you're from North Jersey, you say it's Taylor Ham. For me, it's Taylor Ham all day. In fact,
Taylor
whenever
Ham all day.
There's the answer. All right. We can continue with the interview.
I'm not kicked off. Okay.
Yeah. Some of your teammates may have something to say about this, but it is Taylor Ham
Don't
today.
Don't tell Carly.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, she's for sure says pork roll.
Yeah,
probably in a very intense way as well.
For sure.
All right. We'll get one more question. This is a question from Emily Gurdis. She's a Thorns fan, right? And she had asked the question.
Respect.
She said, should we start referring to you and McCall Zerboni as the Bash Brothers of NWSL?
Why am I getting this reputation?
What, have you seen yourself
yellows.
Play?
I like to go hard. Come on. I think that the Bash Brothers, wow. I mean, yeah, for sure. I hope that everyone will fear me and McCall for that. I don't consider myself a Bash Bro, but I'll take it.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I mean, and maybe.
I'm not afraid to bash anyone.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
and
they need
maybe,
it. I'll give it.
Maybe you can speak to a little bit just that having the veteran leadership that is in Gotham, obviously having a player like McCall and Carly Lloyd.
Also, sorry, a Thorns fan would say that. Sorry, go on.
That's what
go
I was waiting
on.
For.
Go on.
You know, we've met Carly Lloyd once for maybe 3 seconds, and we already noticed the intensity. What is it like having a team with you know young players, strong players like you know Midge Purse, and just that youth and that veteran leadership, you know, in that squad.
I think it's a really good balance because I think that the, you know, like I think obviously Carly, she's been a legend in the game, and you know, being able to just be on the same field with her, like I've never not enjoyed it. I'll never take it for granted. She's such a special player, so I think she is intense, but. I've known her for so long, and she's actually really funny, like, on the low. So I appreciate her so much. And I think, like, the youth mixed with the experience is, like, such a good balance. I don't think we have one really, you know, overriding the other. And I think that as much as we can kind of help the younger ones kind of learn and get that experience, you know, is only better for everybody, for the team, for them. And for us, too, it's a cool kind of position to be in where, you know, I think I have more patience now than when I was, like, growing up and younger. Like, I would just yell at everybody and like, because that's what everyone did to me in the gyms, but that's fine.
Yeah.
So I think, like, it's cool that, you know, it's a different role to kind of be that person that is teaching in a sense and being, like, patient and I think Midge, her future's so bright. I'm so excited for her. She's been killing it so far. And I think, I hope after these Olympics, we're both called in and it'll be perfect.
Okay.
We got to keep winning. We've got to keep playing well. And, you know, it's been great so far. So
yeah, I'm Gotham has been one of the more fun teams to watch out in NWSL. So,
and we want to go to the NWSL championship, so make it so we can all hang out there and watch you win.
Okay. You got it.
We're politely asking.
Done.
Okay, can you just please be there? Okay.
I don't know what's
Done.
In your agenda, but maybe add it to the calendar, Alex.
I don't know what the NWSL's agenda, but I know what the Gotham's agenda is, and we'll be there for you guys.
Let's go. Thank you so much for answering those questions, Ali. We have a couple pieces of business before we wrap up. We have to get to our Golasso gift. This is your opportunity to celebrate a goal on our show that we will turn to a gift that will live on the internet forever. Alexis will give you a scenario and feel free to celebrate however you like. Alexis, what are you thinking?
All right, so you are in a warehouse in Queens playing futsal, and this dude on the other team, he's the guy who made the 3-goal rule, and he tackled you at the beginning of the match, and you have a chance to score. You've beaten the last defender. It's just you versus the goalkeeper. You get it in. How do you celebrate that goal?
Let's go! Whatever jersey I'm wearing, who knows? It's a different team every time, but let's go, baby!
Done.
Love it. Love it. Ali Long, thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything you want to let people know about before we sign off?
No. I'm just so thankful. Not really. Just keep watching the NWSL and, supporting our league and the U.S. Women's National Team and, like, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that is a perfectly good call. You can follow Ali Long on social media, Ali underscore Long, I believe, at least on Twitter. I don't know if it, is it the same on IG?
Yes.
Ali underscore Long underscore.
I think so.
Okay, cool.
Oh, thank you.
So make sure you follow. I follow her on Twitch to see her play a bunch of games. I've watched you play Call of Duty before.
Thank you.
They're always awesome. So keep supporting. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social platforms. Follow at Fubo Sports and subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for more clips and full episodes of the show. Okay, Ali, let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So please join us in this outro. So for Ali Long, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!